Hello, my name is Billy Whitelaw, and I'm an actress, and I've had the great good fortune this century to work with one of our leading writers, or perhaps I should say one of Ireland's leading writers, the Nobel Prize winner Samuel Beckett. I will always remember my first the first time I saw Beckett. Our director, George Devine, had written to Paris and said, please can you come over and help us with this play of yours we're doing, which was simply called Play. And we were rehearsing one day, Robert Stephens, Rosemary Harris and myself, in sort of pretend urns, and someone very quietly slipped into the room, very shy, dressed in a gabardine, loose, rather old-fashioned gabardine, buttoned raincoat, hair that stuck straight up on end. It looked as though he'd had a very bad haircut. Very, very pale blue eyes, the palest blue eyes I've ever seen. They looked transparent. And little granny gold-rimmed glasses on the end of his nose. And I thought, that is Beckett. That has to be Beckett. Very quiet. Didn't interfere with the director, George Devine, because they were friends. But he would talk to George in between breaks, and then George would come back with new ideas or a different slant on something. And the great joy for me is that on the afternoons he asked if he could take the three of us separately and to sit with Sam for an afternoon while he pored over his own text and looking at him, concentrating very hard. And he once called me over and he said, Billy, will you bring your pencil over here? And it's 12th line down, 4th line in. Will you make that comma a semicolon? It took about 20 minutes for him to arrive at that. And I still got the script where I've crossed out the comma and put in a semicolon. I mean, he's quite right, of course. It's a different rhythm, a different timing. And I think in that way I was right. I looked at his work like music, and to me it was rhythm and pauses and lack of pauses. It was musical to me. He handed me a play. It was just simply called Not I, and it was a monologue of about 16 minutes, and you think, oh good, oh that's money for old rope. Alas, no. It's a play that had to go as fast as I could possibly go. I mean, I couldn't have gone quick enough for him. It went something like, I'll do a little bit for you so you'll have some idea. It went something like, out into this world, a tiny little thing before its time, and I got for one girl, yes, tiny little girl, into this, out of this before her time, and on and on and on and on and on. It went for pages and pages. And I did say, I think you've finally done it. You've written the unsayable and the unlearnable. I was strapped into a chair with a mask around my eyes, and I strapped into a chair that was high up, and I was actually tied into the chair all the way down, because going at that speed, I hyperventilated and I became very breathless, and not being able to see because I was masked. And I used to cling on to the side of the chair. The chair had arms. I can't think why I was raised so high, but I was raised on a plinth, covered with a black hood over my head, black around my eyes, around my face. What little was left that you could see was painted black, but my teeth were white apart from a couple of gaps I painted in, and the rest of my body was very much covered, very heavily covered with black material, because all Sam wanted to see was my mouth. I would love to have been able to have got off the chair and go down and see it, or I would love to see someone else do it, but no one else has ever done it, at least not to my knowledge. It must have looked quite extraordinary, this mouth in space, which everyone swore was moving, which it wasn't, because I was strapped in so that I couldn't move. And at the end of the play, I had to be unwrapped like a parcel, all the black material taken off me, and my shoes and my feet unwrapped and my hands untied from the chair. I think that is the most frightening play I've ever done.